welcome once again to the E-Bone Zone, as I invite you to sit back, relax, and listen for the 377th time on this Friday, April 12th, 2024. I hope you'll enjoy this week's episode, From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank. Chick-fil-A's making sure that their used fryer oil isn't going to waste. It's pretty interesting because we've all heard about sustainable energy before, and now the inventor of the chicken sandwich wants to make it in the fuel business. Back in 2022, a company called Darling Ingredients partnered with them to create this new way of going green. A press release said that the grease will become a cleaner burning renewable transportation fuel. So the plan is to operate 24/7 to remove used cooking oil from restaurants without interrupting day-to-day operations. When the cooking oil is taken from the restaurants, Darling Ingredients cleans it and repurposes it at the brand's nearest processing plant. Darling Ingredients' Diamond Green Diesel project turns hundreds of millions of pounds of used cooking oil into renewable diesel every year, according to the company. Vice President of Social Responsibility Rodney Ballard said, "At Chick-fil-A, we're committed to caring, and that includes caring for others through our food and caring for our planet. Our innovative partnership helps us be responsible stewards of the resources at our restaurants and allows us to support the future of renewable transportation fuel, all while positively influencing the communities we serve." If I'm being totally upfront with you, I think this is a really cool idea. And I know if I had to drive a renewable energy car, I would definitely pick the method that Chick-fil-A is trying to get going here. And another thing, I think it's a whole lot less embarrassing than driving an electric. Okay, I get it. Before somebody corrects me, I know that driving an electric car is incredibly efficient, and I know that you're only embarrassed by something if you let it embarrass you. But think about it. With this, you're not driving on power that you can get from an outlet somewhere. You're driving a car that is propelled forward by the thing that is used to cook fried chicken, a staple food in the American South, and when you tally up the entire population of the American South, you come to an estimated 37% of all U.S. residents, or 114,555,744 people. You're going to have a hard time convincing me that this isn't awesome. This week, I would like to continue a tradition that I hold very close to my heart. I try and offer a good Christian podcast, so I thought I would begin sharing a new Bible verse each week. This week, I would like to share a verse from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verse 6 says, "He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Everybody knows this verse, and all Christians, I believe, should rejoice in this verse. It's the verse that, in my opinion, is one of the greatest in the Bible. Here we see that Jesus is not in the tomb. Jesus is not here. He is risen just as he said. The angel perched on top of the rock that sealed the tomb shut is telling the women that came to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body that he is not here. Now, if you think about it, this had to be an amazing thing because Jesus was crucified just 3 days earlier. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they were witnesses at the cross. They had seen him die. And as far as they knew, before Jesus, no one had come back from the dead. This was a final sentence. This was an unjust sentence for Jesus, but it was going to be final. It was the nail in the coffin, so to speak. No one had come back from death, so they thought that was going to happen to Jesus as well, because what else could happen to a man who's dying? What else except death could happen to a man who's dying on a cross in the most horrible way that they could think of in that time, in the most horrible way that was known in that time? We know that in chapter 27, verse 50, Jesus, after he had asked God why he had forsaken him, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, people who were seeing that, I can bet you they were afraid. I can bet you that when the earth was in total darkness, they were afraid. The same way that when Jesus cries out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? The earth starts to quake. The graves start to open. That had to be scary, right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 6, back where we started. We see, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And Luke describes it like this in Luke 24, verse 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again? Praise God. He's alive, friends. We do not serve a dead Savior. That's the thing about Christianity. That's the thing that differentiates us from all the other religions of the world. Muhammad died. Confucius died. Buddha died. Every one of them. But Jesus, he's the Son of God, the one true begotten of the Father. He did as he said. He died, was buried, and rose again. And I'm thankful for that. Because through that death, through that burial, through that glorious resurrection that we hear about in Matthew 28, verse 6, we have eternal life. We don't have to fear the end of our lives, because if we serve Jesus, we're going to be in heaven with him. He lives, friends. Rejoice in that. Because if you put your trust in him, you'll live too. Sometimes the internet can be a pretty cool place. Other times, well, not so much. And that's why I've taken it upon myself to dive back into the depths of Twitter to see which side of the coin we're presented with this week. This week's hashtag is Dumb Things I Did as a Kid. The first response, Dumb Things I Did as a Kid, stepped on a crack, broke my mother's back. See, you should have listened closer to the rhyme. It told you exactly what would happen, but you did it anyway, didn't you? Oh my goodness. Why? Your mama didn't deserve that. She's a good woman. Some people just don't learn, do they? The next response, Dumb Things I Did as a Kid. I used to be afraid to sit on the toilet after seeing the Jaws trailer. Okay, I see that, and I'll raise you this. I used to conjure up the idea that if I didn't cover my exposed ear while sleeping on my side at night, that Frankenstein's monster would bite my ear off. So that's not the strangest thing ever. Lucky for us, sharks are too big to fit in most toilets, and Frankenstein's monster is a fictional character who in the book is a tender-hearted, almost person, wrongfully judged and condemned as a maniac by society. So I doubt we have anything to worry about. The next response, I used to hitchhike. Hey, when it was normal, it wasn't considered dumb. So you got that going for you. It wasn't considered dumb until all those serial killers started making the news in the 80s. And that's when people started rethinking things. I hope, anyway. And the last response, Dumb Things I Did as a Kid, invented new recipes. As a kid? What do you mean as a kid? I still do that. You never know if you like something until you try it. That's the same thing with new recipes no one thinks will work. You never know if they will unless you let your intrusive thoughts win once in a while. Sometimes, I think we can all agree, the lengths that people go to become the king of thieves is insane. This one's actually pretty impressive. Check out the situation from California. A man named Omar checked his surveillance system last week and found someone hiding in a trash bag waddling up to his door because he wanted to steal a package. He said at first that he thought he was being messed with because he got a notification about some phone chargers being delivered to his door. Then he saw the trash bag was moving on the security camera when he got home after the package was gone. He said he was at first angry, but then he saw the video and he started laughing. So I guess it's good he saw the humor in the situation, but bad that he got robbed, obviously. It also shows the creativity and somewhat insanity of the people just trying to get by. The thief stole two phone chargers that cost $10 combined. Omar says that he'd love to meet the guy, and if he ever did, he would compliment the robber on his creativity. Will it happen? Who knows? I'd like to see it if they do. Can we do it in front of the security camera? That way it maybe can get leaked as well and go viral and maybe I can see it. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. I'm really glad you could make it, and I hope you enjoyed the festivities. If you want to stay connected to the show, I'd invite you to pop on over to Facebook or Twitter and give the page a follow. Just search eBoneZone on Facebook and Official EBZ on Twitter. And if you want more from the podcast, visit the website, www.ebonezone.com. If you're new, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next week, my friend, God bless you, stay humble, and remember, keep an ear out.